Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 3 John. Revelation at the end. Jude, 3 John. So right towards the end, as we finish up, all of the Johannine, as it's called, literature from the Apostle John. Be a message today and then next week. Entertain the truth. This book, short as it is, shortest book in the New Testament, about Christian fellowship. And when you're dealing with people, this is a secret, you guys can't imagine this, when you're dealing with people, there's positives and there's negatives. And in a church, in the daily life of a church or a ministry, there are positives and negatives. Does anybody know what Friday is on the Christian calendar? Some of you Catholics. It's the feast of Saint Francis of Assisi. Most of us have heard of Saint Francis, known for his simple faith, identifying especially with the poor and the oppressed. Also, some of the things he tamed ravenous wolves and preached to the birds. In fact, one of his rules, very famous, is he was forming, if you will, his order, the Franciscan monks, in 1221, where he taught that the friars, rule number one, to live in obedience, in chastity, and without property, following the teaching and footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the patron saint of Italy, along with Catherine of Siena. He's the patron saint of animals and the environment. Also on Friday, which is October 4th, his feast day, a lot of churches will do a blessing of the animals. Maybe some of us have blessed. In fact, I have a dog that probably needs to be blessed. But also the current pope, for a reason, took the name, first pope to be a Jesuit in this case, take the name of Francis. But 2 John, as we look at this, it's tied once again to who wrote it. Well, the Apostle John calls himself the elder, as he identifies as a pastor and his understanding of his authority, but also as a pastor. He wrote it once again back in about the 90s AD, most likely from Ephesus. Maybe it came as a packet of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John as it was distributed to the churches. So we've already spent some time going through 1 John and 2 John. And the purpose, why he wrote it, well, all of what John wrote, the Gospel of John, primarily written, the purpose, these signs are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing have life in his name. Gospel of John. Revelation, we did an in-depth study of that. The idea of the apocalypse, revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Be ready. He's coming again. A sinful world is going to be judged, but by God's grace and the return of Christ. So we see the end of history as it is. 2 John, we spent some time last month that the idea of having fellowship, an important component in a church, but not having fellowship with false teachers. By the way, earlier I passed out those things. Raise your hand if we ran out of those pamphlets. How many, Laura, I saw you out. And Pam, you want one? How many more should I get? I will order a bunch more. Good. Did you see that? I see that hand back there. But I will get some more. But the idea of non-fellowship with false teachers. In 3 John, then, the purpose, it's really a personal correspondence to a colleague in ministry, from John to a man named Gaius. His name means rejoicing, which is an appropriate name. So it is a historical letter, not to be allegorized with when it comes to interpretation. I mentioned it's the shortest book of the New Testament, and there's really no formal instruction or theology. These are, if you will, just two pastors discussing issues. And when I get together, I go to a lot of pastor meetings. Sometimes it's a lot of fun just being with other pastors, but you assume a lot of stuff that, you know, we don't need to teach each other, but we talk about ministry. And I cry on their shoulder and talk about all you people. And people get tired of hearing me say how blessed I am to be part of this church family. But some pastors, quite frankly, dig their own holes, but they complain an awful lot about the sheep. But Jesus and the Holy Spirit, are not mentioned directly in this book. And so the idea of fellowship with believers, we're going to see the positive example of Gaius today. Next week, the negative example of Diotrephes, and then the positive example of Demetrius. To quote Colin Cruz, a guy that wrote an important commentary on this, this just concerns the life intentions of an early Christian community. Well, that application, I think, is appropriate for us as well. And today we're going to look at how we're going to go through this. Well, today we're going to look at the greeting and the commendation of Gaius. Next week we'll look at the condemnation of a man named Diotrephes, just the end counsel, and then the commendation of Demetrius, and then a final farewell. Just a mere 14 verses in our English Bibles. It's a short, almost like a personal note, probably carried by Demetrius, so that's one of the reasons he's being commended to this church on behalf of the Gospel of John. Christians should be generous supporting those laboring for the truth. That's today and the commendation of Gaius. We should be generous supporting those laboring for the truth. So if you have your Bibles, please open them. 3 John. Look at the first four verses, the greeting in verse 1, you get the address. The elder, the apostle John, how he's choosing to identify himself, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. And so the idea of Gaius, a beloved, a very warm, affectionate, and a very personal letter. We looked at Philemon maybe last year, I think it was. Another very short personal letter from Paul to a man named Philemon, and concerning issues. And so the idea then of beloved, loved in the truth, those two terms connected once again, a warm relationship. In verse 2, that he has some well wishes. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So the idea of just sort of when we give well wishes, just a common greeting for physical and spiritual health. It's just a common wish. Now, this has been, just a little historical note, some of the whole person prosperity, health, and wealth preaching comes out of this, where a name, I won't mention the name, but famous person, sort of the finger-dipping method where you open your Bible and you go like this, and you say, oh, this has led to a lot of misunderstanding of what's going on here. But the idea of John wishing health and a good life to Gaius. Well, verse 3, because he's heard a good report. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in truth. And then he goes on, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. So what's this good report? Gaius, I hear a good report. You are a man of truth. And that brings him joy. Why? Because of truth. Again, notice how many times truth is mentioned 6 times in this little short letter, more concentrated than anywhere else in the New Testament. And 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, the Gospel of John, Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth in the Gospel of John. So very important concept. Well, verses 5 through 8 then, some of the positive reasons for writing. First, the commendation again. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren, and especially for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. And so that faith is emphasized. And because of that faith, there's action. You do for believers, and especially for believers who are strangers. That's sort of where we're headed now with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that we may not know, but in the truth, out of faith, the action that we have. And Gaius was known for that. And once again, a good report. You love those before the church. Well, then he gives an exhortation, second half of verse 6. If you send them, these strangers, these we might say missionaries, you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles, talking about unbelievers, some of your translations, pagans, taking nothing from the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive or support such that we might become fellow workers for the truth. So you will do well. We might say that's an idiom for please. Please continue to do this. Support or send on the journey in a manner worthy of God for God's glory. Why? Because they're going forth on behalf of the name. This is as close to Jesus as we're going to get, but no other support. And so the church supporting the missionaries to go out on behalf of the good news, the gospel of Jesus. And so therefore, what's therefore? Well, so that we ought to support truth workers. Like, we're going to see Demetrius maybe delivering the letter next time. Unlike, if you were here for 2 John, we should not be giving hospitality or actual support to false teachers. And then we're going to meet a guy next week, Diotrephes, who's failing in this when it comes to what he is accepting as a leader in the church. And so that we become fellow workers for the truth. We are co-laboring with when we support through financial, whatever it is, and more on that in just a second. As opposed to, back in 2 John, if you support false teachers, you share in their evil deeds. So we are known, if you will, by our company to some degree. So that's the text, very straightforward. So what? What word popped up an awful lot? Starts with a T and ends with a Ruth? So far, 5 times, just in these few verses. And like I said, in the gospel, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. And then later in John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And so he talks about a beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. That bond of love, which is not mere sentimentality, which is what our culture, you know, that word love is basically meaningless in culture. But biblically, it's grounded in truth. And just to remind you, I think these are good. It's one of my professors, Bob Yarborough, he wrote a great commentary. But in John's writing, so Gospel of John, Revelation, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, I believe are all from the Apostle John. When that word truth comes up, it's tied to this. Listen to these because I think this is important. And once again, I share it again because truth is emphasized here. Truth is possessed and imparted by the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, when it comes to spiritual things. Truth refers to the ethical standards that God has established for his people as expressed in his commandments. We are called to do the truth. And so there's an ethical nature as well as the objective nature. Truth is God's revealed and personal sanctifying presence that gives the believer the capacity to reflect God's character traits, like love and aversion to sin. It has to be grounded in truth. Truth refers to the quality of conformity to the way things are in God's omniscient wisdom. It conforms to reality, folks. A lot of so-called claims to truth are not connected to anything real. But in God's creation, his omniscient wisdom, that's the way things are. That's part of the truth. And then the truth refers to the gospel of Jesus Christ, its implication, what it means for us, and the sphere of eternal life. There's an eternal aspect to it into which the gospel ushers those who embrace it. So all the things we've discussed, the prayer concerns, all the stuff we see going on in the world, folks, the truth tells us and helps us have hope for eternity, which is the eternal weight of glory, as opposed to sometimes what we are concerned about in the here and now. And so living the truth, folks, is something that's important, and that's part of my job, if you will, when it comes to God's word. All of us, you know, I don't preach at you people. This is God's word. The authority is God's word. And so rightly interpreted, the meaning, the significance. But doing the truth is the application, folks. And that's what we all need to be about. What does God's word say? Are we trying to conform to that as much as we can? Or, which unfortunately happens in a lot of churches and in culture for sure, we just do it the way we want and then try to baptize it as well. That's, you know, that must be good because I did it that way. The old Venerable Bede, one of those church folks from church history that really helped save the church in the British Isles. But Bede said, there is no greater joy than to know that those who have heard the gospel are now putting it into practice by the way in which they live. Belief, the truth, has to result in behavior. And folks, that's what I just, it's a privilege to be part, and I expect you to hold me accountable as well. But as a family, we all should be encouraging one another in the truth to live the truth. Well, what is an important aspect of living the truth that's brought up in 3 John? And it's the idea of hospitality. Well, in the ancient Near East, hospitality, it's a lot more than entertaining family and friends. You know, we have a lot of hospitable people. We like to get together and eat and have fun. But back then, it was a much more serious affair because the roads were dangerous, the inns were horrible, and folks would travel around. And unless they were supported by, in the case of the church, fellow believers, it was a very dangerous world. Think of Lot in Genesis 18 and 19, the angels that came to Abraham and were going down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And the idea of these angels came to town and Lot took them under his house, and the wicked people wanted to do bad things to the angels. And it's hard for us to understand that culture, but Lot said, because he was being a hospitality for strangers, he said, take my daughters instead of these guests under my roof. We can't comprehend that, but that is how serious hospitality was taken back then. Think of Mary and Joseph and just that little phrase, and there was no room in the inn. I mean, that was a pretty serious thing just part of the Christmas story. So it's much more than just entertaining, but hospitality has to do with, it's encouraged as part of Christian love. In Romans chapter 12, for example, as we are presenting ourselves as living sacrifices, Romans 12:13 says, distributing, Christian love is reflected, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. And so that's very important. And the word ought, therefore we ought to support such that we might become fellow workers for the truth. So we ought, that's an ethical, if you will, command for us as Christians. So whom are we supporting? Well, here John is talking about laborers for the truth and the gospel. We might think of other guest preachers, missionaries. You know, it's a different culture than the ancient Middle East, but the application, the principle of not supporting false teaching, antichrist, small a's, but labors for the truth and the gospel. I read from Matthew 10:40, Jesus says, he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. In 1 Timothy 5:18, as Paul is writing to young Timothy, sort of what's called a pastoral epistle, the idea that for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. In other words, missionaries, preachers rely on the support of Christians so that that message can be sent around the world. And so when it comes to missions, I am very pleased with you know, us as a church family. We can always do better, but labors for truth and the gospel, actually, just a couple more. And it's not just supporting friends. He talks about especially strangers. We all have friends that we're close to, and that's, you know, nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to supporting Christian ministries, Paul especially says, especially, Gaius, you have been good to strangers. And it's not just money. We live in a very materialistic culture, but other investments. A lot of times you'll get prayer cards from missionary. Very important to lift them up in prayer. Beyond just, you know, in America, we are very wealthy people and the church is very wealthy. It's easy to sort of throw money at a problem and make it go away. It needs to go much more than that. And that's one of the things I appreciate about our deacons. We bring in our missionaries. We want an accounting and a slideshow. You always got to have a slideshow with missionaries. But actually, that's good to see what they're doing and how we are supporting them to make sure that we are glorifying God with how we are working through them and with them in other parts of the world. And so good missionaries will talk a lot about partnering with us. Well, a related application, which in our culture, sometimes there's a lot of isolation in our culture, because we can choose when and where to encounter strangers. You know, do you know your neighbors? I wish I didn't know my neighbors. But also things like, you know, sometimes we don't even know the folks in our neighborhood or next door neighbors. You know, with email, it's very easy to have acquaintances. In German, the idea of, you know, very close relationships, but also acquaintances, where email, you can keep people at a distance. The idea, you know, with the checkout aisles now, where they're automated, you don't have to talk to anybody. I mean, I admit I get a little aggravated where, you know, you pull up in Walmart and the person in front and the cashier are having a fine conversation, you know, and I'm okay now. But you know, that personal touch. You know, how many of us remember having a conversation with the attendant that pumped our gas back in the day? Remember that one? Yeah, you just, you know, people. Actually, Rich is a good example of this. Striking up conversations with folks that just, people are pretty cool. There's a lot of interesting stories. And so the idea of isolation, where we can separate ourselves. A guy named Wilson, a quote, "Modernity stress on the dominance of individualism and the quest for autonomy has turned us all into strangers." And folks, that's easy to do, and I encourage us not to. I know I can, I'm an introvert, and I can, and actually I can fall prey to this where, you know, I'm not sometimes comfortable, but this is not what we as Christians, you know, we don't have to be best buddies with everybody, but just dealing with people, if you were here last week, created in the image of God. Whether they're believers or not, they are created in the image of God, so we should be loving our neighbors as ourselves. But especially when it comes to support, you know, and I commend what we do with missionaries, and that, folks, is important. Keeping the main thing, supporting the work of the gospel, not coveting for ourselves. And there are some churches that are pretty good at coveting for themselves versus supporting the work of the gospels. Simple little example, strangers purposefully welcome during our greeting time. You know, we're pretty good at that. We get a lot of comments that we're a pretty friendly church, but sometimes we want, you know, it's fun to go talk to, hey, get caught up on the rest of the week as opposed to recognizing. I won't embarrass any visitors here, but were you greeted? What did people go out of their way to greet one another? And we do a very good job of that. And in our name, the Community Fellowship of Christians, folks, I'm pleased by God's grace that we reflect that name pretty well with our openness and our generosity. So thank you. You do make my job easy, because when I'm getting together with other pastors and I sit and I listen to the problems and I, you know, I think of a few of you and I say, you haven't seen any problems. No, but to be able to commend and folks that have visited, even pastor buddies that have been here, just how welcoming and open. Folks, that's good. We don't rest on our laurels. And we keep it at that level of keeping it real, not superficial and facile. So avoiding the extremes, St. Francis, poverty, what he did, versus then the isolationism and materialism of our culture. Folks, we want to be lovers of strangers, hospitable, supporting the work of the gospel message. And I thank you that we are generous when people come speak with missionaries, part of the budget, love offerings, things like that, folks. Those of you who have been on the mission field, you rely on support of local churches primarily. And isn't it a blessing when that gift, it's just money, but think of what that can do, how much American dollars can do for the glory of Christ around the world. So, Christians should be generous, supporting those laboring for the truth, because it is all for God's glory. Next week, we're going to meet a guy who doesn't seem to get it, and it's one of you in this room. No. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for just an insight, little glimpses of ancient Near East emails between colleagues as they discuss ministry, and just the Apostle John praising his beloved friend, co-worker Gaius, whatever their complete relationship, but what a great report. may we reflect that type of love for strangers and the love grounded in the truth as we are generous and hospitable, sending forth, supporting those who are on the front lines of gospel ministry. For Jesus' sake, in His name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.